From the Palais Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a massive Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, of course, on the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Ty Dunn is going to stop by at the top of the hour at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Andrew Perloff, you may have heard of him. He is the host of the Maggie and Perloff Show right here on many of these same stations on the Infinity Sports Network. He will be joining us at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time, 2:20 p.m. Pacific today, to do a little NFL pick. So we got a whole lot to get to. But folks, we have almost made it to division round weekend in the National Football League. Texans and Chiefs will kick things off tomorrow. Texans typical Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time slot. You got the Commanders and the Lions on the nightcap on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I'll be in South Philadelphia for Rams and Eagles. And after that, you got the most anticipated game of the weekend between the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. I want to start off, though, with the Chiefs, who are going up against the Texans. I do believe the Texans can cover the spread. I do think the Texans can win the game. Do I pick the Texans? No, I'm not. I'm taking the Chiefs, but I would gobble up the points right now, and I would jump on the Texans plus the 8 with Kansas City winning the game by a touchdown or less is pretty much how I feel this is going to go. Whether that's 7 or 3 or 4, who knows? But I think Kansas City is going to win by a touchdown or less. Big picture, though, this is the start of the Chiefs' postseason run since they didn't play last week. The NFL postseason can officially commence for Kansas City with them getting into action, going into Arrowhead, and playing in front of their home crowd on Saturday. Big picture, though, what's on the line long-term in this run through the next 4 weeks potentially for Kansas City, divisional round weekend, conference championship weekend, bye week, and then the Super Bowl? I think it's two things. One, it's Kansas City doing something that no team has done in the Super Bowl era, and that's win back-to-back-to-back championships. Obvious statement. But when you look at the greatest quarterback conversation of all time, I think Mahomes can move up the list, not to the number one spot, but I think he could move up the number one list, you know, up the top four list or so to the two spot with the Lombardi Trophy this season or his next Lombardi Trophy, but definitely if he gets one this year. So the way that I look at it right now, in the Super Bowl era, I think the four greatest quarterbacks of all time, in the fourth spot is Peyton Manning. In the third spot, right now, today, it's Patrick Mahomes. Joe Montana's then in the second spot. And then the GOAT, Tom Brady, in at the number one spot. And you look at three simple things. How many Super Bowls have you won? How many Super Bowl MVPs have you won? And then how many league MVPs have you won? And that's pretty much how we judge and we have these tiebreakers when you look at the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. I think the one outlier, right, or maybe even the two outliers, is Dan Marino is considered, you know, in that top five range somewhere, you know, definitely top 10. You could make the case, some people would argue Marino's in the top five. Some people would say he's just outside of it in the 6th, 7th, or 8th spot. Marino's the lone guy in the Super Bowl era that does not have a Super Bowl championship nor a Super Bowl MVP that gets thrown into the top 10 conversation and in some conversations, the top five. But you look at those four quarterbacks in particular, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Montana, and Tom Brady. This is the breakdown right now in the Super Bowl era. Peyton Manning, 2 Super Bowl championships, 1 Super Bowl MVP, 5 league MVPs. Patrick Mahomes, 3 Super Bowl championships, 3 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 league MVPs. Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowl championships, 3 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 league MVPs. And then Tom Brady, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven Super Bowl championships, five Super Bowl MVPs, and then he has three league MVPs. And the two times he did not win the Super Bowl MVP, they went to Dion Branch, and that was Super Bowl 39 when the Patriots beat the Eagles, and then his last Super Bowl championship in New England, which was Super Bowl 53 when it did go to Julian Edelman. So I don't think Mahomes can do anything in this run, this year, to get him into the number one spot. Now, for future years, potentially, Patrick Mahomes could have this trump card if he wins a championship this year. I'm the only quarterback in the Super Bowl era to win three straight Super Bowl championships. That's something Tom Brady wasn't able to do. Brady did have back-to-back championships. That was in 2003-2004. We haven't had a back-to-back Super Bowl winner since the Chiefs just did it the last 2 years when they were able to take out Philadelphia, and then they followed it up with taking out the San Francisco 49ers. So that's the one trump card Mahomes could have over Brady. But Brady could also say, I see your three straight Lombardi trophies. Who beat you in the AFC Championship game when you were in Kansas City? At home, me. Who beat you in the Super Bowl when I joined a new team and I went up against you when you were with the Kansas City Chiefs and already well-established, not like your first 2 years of starter, like I beat you in the AFC Championship game? Me. So it's going to be tough for Mahomes to move past Brady. But if you think about what I said to start, the four quarterbacks are Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Montana, and Tom Brady. In the order of Brady, Montana, Mahomes, Manning. Think about what Mahomes has already done. We are sitting here, and we are talking about a guy who got drafted in 2017. And we are talking about him already as the third greatest quarterback of all time. And as someone, if he wins a championship this year or on his next championship, we would feel pretty confident in putting him in the Montana spot as the second greatest quarterback ever. So I know the Montana fan, because this is the Montana fan's best argument. Well, Joe got to four Super Bowls and he won all four. Never lost one. Now, I understand when you're in these dopey tiebreakers, you say things that it knocks down a legend to prop the other one up. That one, to me, is always a fascinating argument. And I dealt with it when Brady was at four, when Brady was at five. And you would have talk show hosts say, well, yeah, Brady has won four championships, but he lost two, you know, at the time. Or Brady has won five championships, but he lost two, right? That's what was said at the time. And I've always found that argument to be stupid. Because, yes, Montana has never lost a Super Bowl, but that just means in the other years he lost earlier. So, like, we're punishing Brady and we're punishing, you know, in this case, Mahomes, because Mahomes lost to Brady once and Brady has three Super Bowl championship losses to the Giants twice, and then he threw for 505 yards and lost to the Eagles. Now, Brady blew everyone out of the water. You know, when you win seven and, you know, you maybe want to play that argument of, oh, Montana never lost, and, you know, I'd still rather have five over four, but it used to be a closer argument. Once Brady won his six, I don't think anyone, unless if you're like Rob Parker, who just hates Tom Brady, and he made a career off of it, let's be real. I don't think anyone with a straight face could look you in the eyes and say, oh, Montana's the better quarterback than Tom Brady, with what Brady was able to accomplish and how Brady's career is over. But think about that I'm already willing to put Mahomes as the third greatest quarterback of all time, and I have great respect for Peyton Manning, right? Like, who would have ever thought with what Peyton Manning did, we'd be sitting here, and I know he's already in the Hall of Fame, right, and all that, but we would already be talking about him being closer to being out of the top five than he would be getting to the number one spot. Because he's at four right now, and Mahomes has already surpassed him. And that, to me, is just crazy. Like, Manning is one of the greatest regular season quarterbacks of all time. Maybe the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. But the trajectory that Mahomes is on, and you factor in that Mahomes has already blew past him in Super Bowl championships and Super Bowl MVPs, you know, that's unbelievable. It really is. And look how contentious that argument was for years between Brady and Montana. Like, you look at Joe Montana and you see back at his career and what he was able to accomplish. The fact that Joe Montana, right, who retired in 1994, had that greatest quarterback of all time tag, you know, clearly all the way through 2013, 14, 15, like 16, in that realm, that's unbelievable. You know, that's a long time. And it shows how special he is. And now Tom Brady, who just got out of the league in 2022, you know, I know it's our culture now where we say, oh, this guy's the GOAT, this guy's the GOAT. Like, you have guys that are not GOATs that we say, oh, that's the GOAT. Who was it? Oh, it was one of these college basketball players in the draft that said Paul George is his GOAT. I think it was from two draft classes ago. I forget who it was, but kid ended up being a top three pick. And he goes, oh, Paul George is my GOAT. You guys remember who it was?
I think it was Brandon Miller.
Yeah, you're right, from Alabama.
Yeah,
that's who it was. And when he said that, I'm like, Paul George is your GOAT? I go, okay. Like, that could be your favorite player of all time. Like, for example, my favorite baseball player of all time is Mike Piazza. Would I sit here and say Mike Piazza is the greatest baseball player ever? No. You know, could I argue that he's the greatest catcher of all time? Sure. And I wouldn't get a lot of pushback for that. There'd be other people like Johnny Bench, you know, you talk about them. But to say that Paul George is the GOAT, greatest of all time, that has kind of been intertwined with, oh, who your favorite player is. But Mahomes is on a special trajectory right now. And we shouldn't take this for granted. Because you look at what the Patriots did for 20 years. Like, what did we say when Brady left New England? We'll never see that again. Think about that. Because that's how special, that's how unique, especially in the salary cap era, what they've been able to do in a team sport, that was unprecedented, right? Like, you look right now, who are the two teams with the most Super Bowl championships in the history of the league? The New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They both have six. Tom Brady has seven rings. Seven. Seven rings. And you could argue that he should have won one of the Giants one. And his best Super Bowl performance actually came in a loss when he threw for 505 yards up against the Eagles and they didn't win the game. So he actually could have had more than seven, but you argue with what he has. You know, he only has seven. So, oh, I say only seven. That probably is the piss off, Stu. But anyway, it's like, it's fascinating when you dumb this down. And I don't really think much can be argued with what I just said. Like, Stu, in the Super Bowl era, do you think you could argue the order right now of Brady 1, Montana 2, Mahomes 3, and Peyton Manning 4? Whether you think someone was left off that list or whether you think the order 1, 2, 3, 4 should be different?
I think that's the order. I think the one that could be argued is Peyton Manning just because of his lack of postseason success, especially through his prime years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that could be an Aaron Rodgers type. Maybe that could be a John Elway type.
Okay.
I wouldn't make that argument, but I think that's the one that could be poked up. I think 1-3 is no-brainer.
Now, the thing, though, with Manning is, you're right, he's a 500 quarterback in his postseason career. Now, even though at the end he got that Super Bowl championship, he played really well in the AFC championship game, you give him credit for. But getting that Super Bowl, that second Super Bowl, even though that was really Von Miller's Super Bowl, and Manning had a few lame duck throws in that game that I still don't know how the Carolina Panthers did not pick them off, but he won a second championship. Like, if Manning only had one, and he has five league MVPs and only one Super Bowl MVP, I think that the conversation is a little bit more open. But getting that second, looking back at it, did wonders for the legacy conversation of Manning. Because, like, Peyton Manning was never beating Tom Brady in a legacy conversation. The only time there was a chance of that happened was like 03, 04. But still, by then, Brady already had three rings, and Brady's career exponentially got better. You know, he was better in the regular season, and still was able to put on four more championships. So it's a fair point with Manning, but you said Rodgers. Rodgers in the top 10, he ain't in the top 5. Because Aaron Rodgers, right, is pretty much Peyton Manning without the second Super Bowl. And I used to think it was big last year. I forget which writer we had on, but it was even before Mahomes won the third championship where I said, if he gets this third, he's already going to blow past Aaron Rodgers. And I go, think about that statement with how we talk about Aaron Rodgers. And the guy I was talking to said, without question, absolutely. So to see how many Titans that Mahomes has already been able to slay, like you look at it, Elway, Marino, in my opinion, Peyton Manning, you know, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, you know, and like, if you want, I'm not going to get into the Johnny Unitas's and the Otto Graham. Whenever we talk about this, I always go, what about Unitas? What about Graham? You know, that's just not a, I'm not saying that those guys don't have a place, obviously, in the greatness and the annals of NFL history. But in like the year of 2025, when we're having that conversation, they're not on the forefront. But I'll say this, like in the last 30, 40 years, right? If we do it that way and dumb it down that way, if you want to put it in like the last 40, 45 years, the four greatest quarterbacks ever, you know, if you want to just go in the Super Bowl era, are Brady, Montana, Mahomes, and Manning. That's what it is to me. And to see where we're at right now and have Mahomes be on the precipice of moving into the second spot is just absolutely bonkers. Because when you look at it, he sat on the bench early on in his career too. Like, yeah, he got drafted in 2017, but he didn't end up having his first full season until 2018, and he won a league MVP that year. So he sat on the bench for 1 year. That's pretty damn cool in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Only 7. Now 8. Right? Oh, no. This is 7 years since playing that he's already in the third greatest quarterback of all time. And you can make the case that he's the second if he wins his next championship. So that's what I think's on the line for Mahomes. He is chasing, solidifying himself as the second greatest quarterback of all time. But more importantly, if he ever wants to move into that number one spot, which he still has a long ways to go. Pretty impressive start, even I will say so myself. I know that's big of me. But if he wants to get into that number one spot, he's got to have a trump card over Brady. And you could do that in a few ways. One, you get to 8 championships. Or, if you get to 7, you need a tiebreaker. Because Brady could say, hey, I beat you twice in the playoffs. Which I still don't think gets appreciated enough, if I'm being fair. Like, imagine if Michael Jordan beat LeBron James in a conference final and NBA finals. We'd be like salivating over that. It'd be like nuts with the way that'd be talked about. But in these conversations, it does not get mentioned enough that Brady beat Mahomes in an AFC championship game and a Super Bowl. But if Mahomes wants that trump card, he could do something this postseason that Tom Brady has never done before. The great Tom Brady. And that's win 3 straight Lombardi trophies. So what do you think when we get into the legacy conversation of NFL quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era? To me, Peyton Manning 4. Mahomes right now 3, could be 2 if he wins the Super Bowl this year. Joe Montana still for now at 2, and then Tom Brady in that number one spot. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We'll take a break. When we come on back, Stu and I are going to give you a non-quarterback to watch this weekend in the 4 matchups that we have when we have the Bills and the Ravens, the Commanders and the Lions, the Chiefs and the Texans, and also the LA Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles. Coming on back. So I gave you my top 4 greatest quarterbacks of all time in the Super Bowl era. And those were Tom Brady, numero uno, Joe Montana, numero dos. You then had in the 3 spot, Patrick Mahomes, and then Peyton Manning in at 4. I just did a quick Google search. You know, let's see like an article from over the summer. Someone that has time to kill. They got to write about the NFL and you don't want to cover monotonous training camp. So USA Today put out a list. Robert Zaglinski, who I have never heard of. Sounds like a fake name, if I'm being honest. And I click on his bio and nothing comes up there. So I don't know if this is an AI article or not, but I'm assuming it isn't. So here is top 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. and this was published in July of 2024, so this past summer. He had Drew Brees in at 10, Fran Tarkenton in at number 9, John Elway in at number 8, Aaron Rodgers in at number 7, Peyton Manning in at number 6, Otto Graham in at number 5, I'm assuming Unitas is somewhere in here, Mahomes 4, Johnny Unitas 3, Joe Montana 2, and then Tom Brady 1. Now, no Bart Starr mentioned in there, who in the Super Bowl era had 2 Super Bowl championships and 2 Super Bowl MVPs. He also won 5 NFL championships as well. And we had someone call in, I think from Green Bay during the break, and they said, well, what about Bart Starr in the top 10 quarterbacks of all time? Which is totally fair. And Stu, you have a question based off of that. What's your question over Bart Starr? I didn't know you were such a football historian. When you look back at 56 to 71, when he played for the Go Pack Go! But you had a very, very, very important question.
Very.
As you were talking back to this person.
Yes. So, obviously, we have Bart Starr, famous Packer, Green Bay.
Do we know any other famous Barts around here? I can't think of one.
We got Bart Simpson.
Bart Scott? Can't
Bart
wait.
Bart Scott.
Poetic Justice?
Anyone
else? Any
other
Barts that we know?
Oh, Bart Winkler.
Who?
Who?
Oh, Bart Winkler. Oh, that's right. Who does a great job from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time right here on the Infinity Sports Network with Carlos with a K.
So Bart Winkler, obviously, in Milwaukee, Packers fan. I would assume his family's a Packers fan. Did they name him after Bart Starr?
That's a great question. I think it's possible. I don't know too many people named Bart, if I'm being honest. Let me text Bart Winkler. You know, he may be busy with his kid right now as the kid's home from daycare. Quick question for you, Bart. Are you named after Bart Starr? For some reason, my question mark wasn't working there for a second. You know, got to have some punctuation that is correct. I'm going to say yes. What would your guess be?
I'm going to say yes, too.
If you had to name your future son, Stu, after an athlete, what athlete would you name your son after, just wondering? Future son, Stu. What would the athlete be?
I don't know. So it's weird because I had a dog that was named Kobe.
Okay, my dog was named Brady.
So, see, that would be like the obvious one, but like...
Don't tell me it's a soccer player.
No, I don't really have... I guess I don't really have one.
All right, let's do this. Who's your favorite baseball player of all time?
A-Rod.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, you like A-Rod over Derek Jeter?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Number two. Derek.
Love Jeter, but A-Rod was my favorite player.
Number two.
Wow. I'm stunned by that. Okay. So Alex Rodriguez. Alex Kovacs.
Nah.
Don't sound good. Your favorite NBA player is obviously the late, great Kobe Bryant. Kobe Kovacs. Not great. Who is your favorite NFL player of all time?
Rich Gannon.
Rich Kovacs? Set up for some financial success.
It's not terrible.
Not terrible. And who's your favorite hockey player?
I guess I'll go Jack Hughes since I'm kind of new to the hockey world. So
Jack Kovacs. Don't love it. Who's your favorite soccer player?
Mohamed Salah.
Mohamed Salah Kovacs.
So, I don't.
I kind of like that. I think that one flows the best. Mohamed Salah Kovacs. Messi Kovacs.
Maybe Brady Kovacs or Brady Quinn. I don't know.
Oh, Brady Kovacs
is
good.
It's not terrible.
Now let's try to do this exercise for me. Okay. My favorite baseball player of all time is Mike. Mike Gelb. I do have an Uncle Michael. So Michael Gelb. In the Jewish religion, you got to wait until the person's dead to name him after. That's what you're supposed to do. So I don't want to put my uncle on the clock. So I'm not going to go there. Favorite NFL player, Tom Brady, Thomas Gelb. Don't sound great. My favorite NBA player. It's weird. I despise him as a head coach, but I did grow up as a massive Jason Kidd fan. Jason Gelb's not bad, except one of my best friends is Jason. So that's a little bit weird if I did that. And then hockey, it's Henrik Lundqvist, Hank Gelb. I kind of like it. Not a bad one. And soccer, I don't care. Ack, if you had to name your son, let's just say, after your favorite, who's your favorite football player of all time?
Favorite football, well, there are two.
Okay.
John Stallworth and Lawrence Taylor.
Okay. Lawrence Ackerman.
Nah.
And you said John Stallworth?
Yes.
John Ackerman, that's all right.
It's not bad.
It's not great, but it's not bad.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite basketball? Patrick Ewing, right?
No, Walt Frazier.
Oh.
Walter Ackerman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gotta have good suits. I'll tell you that.
Sounds like an accountant, Walter Ackerman, you know?
Who's your favorite hockey player of all time?
Mark Messier.
Mark Ackerman? That's not bad.
That sounds
generic enough.
Yeah.
And who's your favorite baseball player of all time?
You know, it's a good question. Nobody pops into my head. Probably Steve Garvey. That was my guy
growing
up.
Steve Ackerman.
There you go.
It's not bad. I think Ack has the best list there.
Thank you.
I do. Soccer player? You're a big soccer guy, right?
It would be Pele.
Oh, okay. Pele Ackerman.
There you go.
But that would be good.
But yeah. You missed one, though. College basketball player. James Worthy.
James Ackerman. Not bad.
Thank you.
So Bart Winkler responded. We're wondering if he was named after Bart Starr. Now, I'm reading this as I am seeing it. So if Bart is inappropriate here, get your finger on the dump button. I don't know if he will be. I don't think I am, but over the course of my life, I have convinced my parents that I am. So my parents will tell you that I am, but it's because I wore them down about it. Man, that's awesome. So his parents told him, Bart, you are not named after Bart Starr. He has wore them down enough and bitched and complained to them enough and have implored them to acknowledge it. They go, alrighty, let's just tell little Bart that Bart is named after Bart Starr. That's something. That speaks into the Winkler family relationship. Alrighty, Stu, let's go through these real quickly. We'll give a player from each team that is not a quarterback that we're watching this weekend. Let's start off in Kansas City. I will start off with the Chiefs. Chris Jones coming off the injury, expected to play. He has been such a big game player for them. We all know he's one of the top 10 best players in football, and he's one of the best defensive players in football, but he's made so many clutch plays for them. If this game is tight, I want to see how healthy he is, because there are a lot of moments where he steps up and makes big plays for the Chiefs in this postseason run, and probably nationally is a little underappreciated. And it was nice to see him on that top 100 list get a lot of praise because of the fact that, you know, when we talk about Kansas City so much, all we do is talk about Mahomes, Andy Reid, and also Travis Kelce Swift. So I will go with Chris Jones.
All right. I will go with DeAndre Hopkins going against his former team. The Chiefs obviously need someone to give him a spark on the offensive side of the ball. So I like to see what Hopkins is going to bring to the table.
Houston Texans. I'm going Will Anderson Jr. The only time we have really seen Mahomes go down in the postseason is up against the Bucs, where there was a lot of pressure, and then the Bengals had a really good approach on him defensively, too. I think Will Anderson Jr., along with Danielle Hunter, but I'll go more so Will Anderson Jr., he's got to be the best player on the field.
I'll go Joe Mixon. I think if the Texans want a chance to win, they're going to have to be able to run the ball, establish a run game. He's been good this year, so Joe Mixon for me is the guy.
And got banged up. I saw it was a late addition to that injury report, but the expectation is he going to play? That's a good one. Alrighty, let's go to Saturday evening. Commanders, I'm going with Terry McLaurin. You finally have a quarterback. You're here in the postseason. You got a touchdown last week. No one's going to give you a chance up against the Detroit Lions. He has to have a monster game. I'm going Terry McLaurin.
Cliff Kingsbury, for me, is the guy. Ooh. He's going to have to kind of coach this offense and make sure Jaden Daniels limits mistakes and obviously puts up a lot of points as well.
Lions, I'm going Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he is one of the more entertaining players in the NFL. We all know he's a very good running back, but I don't think many people think about him right away as one of the more entertaining players in the league. I could see this being the start of a monster postseason run for him, especially if the Lions go as far as they hope to go this year, which is being the last team standing.
So for me, Amon-Ra St. Brown might be the best receiver that doesn't get talked about, like the top five or six receiver that doesn't get the praise that like a Jefferson or Chase gets. So for me, I think he's the guy I'm very excited to see play.
You know who I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is starting to become? He is a better version of Keenan Allen. And what I mean by that is for 5, 6, 7 years, where you always used to say Keenan Allen's the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is better than Keenan Allen, but I think he has that tag of, for whatever the reasons are, when we get into the top 10, top 5 conversations. I think it's been more of a push this year with the Lions, but for some reason people tend to leave him out of that. All righty, let's go to Sunday. You have the Philadelphia Eagles and the LA Rams. I'm going with Jared Verse. Now, I said before the year Jared Verse was going to win the Defensive Rookie of the Year. He has a good chance to do that. But I have Jared Verse because of this quote that he gave to Gary Klein. I hate Eagles fans. They're so annoying. I hate Eagles fans. When I see that green and white, I hate it. I actually get upset. Like, I actually genuinely get hot. So that is what Jared Verse said. I don't know why he hates the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know why he hates their fans. I thought this was a fake quote at first, but it found out and turned out not to be. I'm just fascinated. Jared Verse, a heck of a player, going back to Florida State, and he was at Albany before that. But now you're going up against the Eagles fans in Philadelphia. Hello. That's something that I'm very much looking forward to.
I will go Puka Nacua. I think they have to put up a lot of points. Obviously, him and Cooper Kupp are going to have to be very, very good, probably both of them, so I'll go with Puka.
Now, he was born Jared Verse, it says, in Dayton, Ohio, but he went to school in Pennsylvania. So I don't know if that's where maybe just getting thrown into Pennsylvania, which, you know, like, you know, Steelers fans, Eagles fans, if that's where his hatred for the Eagles did derive. Philadelphia Eagles, I'm going with A.J. Brown. I want to see if he has the book on the sideline once again this week. And we've seen these games where A.J. Brown doesn't get targeted a lot one week, and then they overemphasize on how many targets they're going to give him. So I'm looking forward to seeing what A.J. Brown does.
I'll go with Nick Sirianni. If the Eagles lose this game, there's a pretty good chance that Sirianni's going to be the reason they lose, and he's going to get the blame. So he's someone that could be very impactful on this game.
Okay, next one. Ravens, Bills. I'm going Derrick Henry. Now, these are non-quarterbacks. Derrick Henry, you could argue outside of Saquon Barkley, you know, this season is the best non-quarterback in the NFL. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
So I would go someone that may or may not play, Zay Flowers. Ooh. If he plays, he will have a big impact. If he doesn't play, they're going to miss him, especially against the Bills.
And even if he's not healthy, you could use him as a decoy, too, if he's just out there. Buffalo, use the coach for the Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McDermott. Here you are again. Big game, big spot. We have seen you have many blunders this year in the big games, in these big spots. You've done a really good job this year. Time to punch your ticket back to an AFC Championship game, and then, assuming if Kansas City wins, see if you could beat the Chiefs in the postseason. You beat them the four last times in the regular season.
And I'll go with Von Miller. He's not the Von Miller that he used to be, but he brings that veteran presence. He's healthy, so if he can make a play or two, that'll be very important for the Bills against Lamar Jackson.
You got it. All righty. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Moist Pork chiming in. Wow. Bart Winkler gaslit his parents about who he's named after. That's talent. 100%. Jake Dyer from Boise saying, tell the Ack man I love the sweatshirt. As Ack is, what is this, College Colors Day?
Boise State, baby.
You're wearing Boise State, I'm wearing Temple. After my alma mater, baby. Beating a top 25 team in Memphis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Penny Hardaway, take that, you bum.
Jamal Mashburn Jr. coming through for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Adam Fisher, good job.
And one of the assistants, Michael Huger from the Bronx, great guy.
And by the way, I do like Penny Hardaway. Just, you know, I got caught up in the emotions of,
yeah, no,
of my team.
I see it. You know, you love the guy, but you know when he's playing against your sentimental choice, in your case, your alma mater, you know, you
becomes
kinda
Voldemort.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
If you go back to the whole Harry Potter references. All righty, we'll do a little onside offside next. Ty Dunn will join us 20 minutes from now. Update time first. Here is Ashton Gentry's second biggest fan, Rich Ackerman. All righty, onside offside time. Just real quickly, let's shout out Alan Ellis on Twitter. We're talking about some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in the Super Bowl era. And, you know, I gave you my four greatest, and it was Brady 1, Montana 2, Mahomes 3, Peyton Manning 4. He said, hey, let's give some love to Terry Bradshaw in the top 10 as well. And he's right. It's like crazy. Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowl championships, 2 Super Bowl MVPs, a league MVP. And I feel like is not respected as much when we get into these conversations now of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I get it. He only had 2 more touchdowns than interceptions passing, but that's a name that through the years, I don't want to say it's been forgotten because we see him every Sunday and we know what he was able to do. But it is fascinating when we just read through a list on the Sporting News and they didn't even mention him. So anyway, Stu, what do we got?
All right. So after Sam Darnold's crash and burn the last 2 weeks of the season, including that ugly playoff loss, many believe that he has lost himself a ton of money in free agency. However, our friend James Palmer told Bleacher Report that may not be the case.
I talked to an executive in the AFC, an executive in the NFC yesterday, and they told me the same thing. There are too many quarterback needy teams out there to have his market dramatically change even after these two games. They both told me probably the perception of his turnaround has been altered more than his market. And it's because there's more teams and there's fewer quarterbacks. There's really only about two quarterbacks at the top of this draft. There's several teams looking for quarterbacks. I'm told by both these guys, he is still the belle of the ball, the top of the free agent market class. And then one of them told me it may not even be close. He's still just 27 years old.
So onsides, all sides, Darnold will get a massive contract over the $40 million a year that Kirk Cousins got.
I think for a week stretch after the Packers game, he elevated way past the Baker Mayfield conversation. I think he's fallen back into that Baker Mayfield conversation. He could still do a few more million than what Baker got, which was $33 million a year. But do I think he's getting 40 or more? No, like 36, 37, 38. I think is what Sam Darnold's going to get. So will Sam Darnold get a massive contract over the $40 million a year Kirk Cousins mark that he got? I'm going to go slightly offside on that.
Offside!
As we've discussed, Tom Brady reportedly has a major role in finding the Raiders' next GM and head coach, leading many to speculate that he won't be long in the Fox booth despite his 10-year contract. Now his agent Don Yee told the Sports Business Journal that Brady is having a blast at Fox and replied yes when asked if Brady plans to finish out the final 9 years of his deal. So onsides, offsides, Tom Brady will finish out his entire 10-year deal at Fox.
I'm going to go offside on that. I do believe that he'll be back next year. I don't know if he's going to get through all 10 years. Not that he's capable, but do you actually want to do this for 10 more years with all the other business opportunities that you do have? So I'm going to say offside on that one.
Offside.
A lot of money, though.
Speaking of Brady's and, of course, my Raiders, a new online odds maker put out the list of most likely destinations for Aaron Rodgers in 2025. The Saints coming fourth at 6-1.
Ugh.
The 49ers next at 4-1. The Steelers second at 3-1. And, of course, my Raiders topping the list at 2-1. Onsides, offsides, the Raiders are more likely landing spot for Rodgers than the Steelers are.
I'm going to go offside. I don't know if the Steelers would want Aaron. But if you're the Raiders, I think the Raiders are going to find a way to get a quarterback. I know Tennessee and Cleveland both need quarterbacks. I just still see Shedeur Sanders in a Raiders uniform. I don't know how they're going to find a way to get there, but they're from six. Maybe the Browns aren't ready to take a quarterback now. But I'm going to say that when you say the Raiders more likely landing spot for Rodgers than the Steelers, I'm going to go offside. And also, isn't Davante Adams now out? Like, if Rodgers wants to go play with Davante Adams, is Davante Adams going to walk back into the Raiders locker room? I know most of the people aren't there anymore and be like, hey, guys, what's up? You know, we're good. So, offside.
Offside.
All right, we know how you feel about playoff teams playing in the elements, and it appears that two games will feature major weather issues this weekend.
Yeah, people, stop bitching about the weather.
In Buffalo, the temperature is expected to be under 20 degrees for Bills-Ravens, while Philly's weather forecast is even more severe, with 4 to 5 inches of snow expected for the Rams and Eagles. Onsides, offsides, the severe weather will impact the road teams far more than the home teams.
Gelb on the road could be interesting this weekend because that snow's coming down right during the game, and I'm driving back to New York City, and I got an early flight Monday morning. Airlines, please. Weather gods, please. Don't screw up my flight to the national championship game early Monday morning. That's all I'm going to say. The question here is, the severe weather will impact the road teams far more than the home teams this weekend. Yeah. Because the Rams are the road team playing in Philadelphia. Outside of that, I don't think any, like, maybe the Texans get impacted in Kansas City if they have bad weather conditions. Lions play in a dome, and Bills and Ravens, those are both cold weather, even though I do think it benefits the Bills more than the Ravens because they're in front of the Bills fans. But yeah, I think it's the road teams more than the home teams that it impacts them. So I will say onsides on that one.
It was recently revealed that Barstool's Chicago superfan Big Cat, who's made his living as a diehard Bears fan, is apparently from Massachusetts and grew up a Boston sports fan before abandoning his hometown teams and started covering Chicago sports for Barstool. Onsides, offsides, it's never acceptable to abandon your hometown childhood sports teams.
This is the dumbest story ever. I have no problem with Big Cat, okay? The idea, though, that people are trashing him for leaving Boston sports teams to go to Chicago And they were like his second favorite teams, right? His uncle's no longer with us. Really got him into Chicago sports, but he was both the New England and the Chicago sports fans. He just never told anyone that he was a New England sports fan. I didn't know he's from Massachusetts. But this idea that you live somewhere else and you can't embrace those sports teams, it's dumb. Root for who you want to root for. You know, people, they get so, oh, you got to root for this team. You got to root for that team. You know, oh, you're from here. How do you root for that team that plays over there? It's just so stupid. So it's never acceptable to abandon your hometown team that you root for as a child. Offside. Do what you want.
Offside.
And also, it made Big Cat a ton of money. So what? Saw a few championships, now wants to go torture himself with the Bears. Isn't that the punishment, really? That you got to go root for the Bears. You know, at least you got a Cubs World Series championship. The Bulls will probably never win a championship again. But it's like, all right, the Blackhawks had their run. I don't know how big of a hockey fan Big Cat is, to be fair. But this idea that you can't ever switch teams if you move somewhere or you're trying to get a job somebody else, like, give me a break. Come on. Just stupid. And if you really have a complaint, worry about your own teams. Don't worry about other people's teams. I will say, surviving Barstool, I had a lot of takes off that last night. You know, spoiler alert, if you're listening, Rhea won. I thought Rhea played the best game. The best moment was the pink wedding with Dave Portnoy. But at the end, I thought Megan making money, her speech was awesome. I would have voted for her. Rhea, I thought, she won, so congratulations to her. She won $250,000. But the last two episodes, I thought she almost talked herself out of winning the money. Ty Dunn will join us next. If you had no clue what I just said the last 5 seconds, don't worry. Coming on back.